The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, one of the favourite things I love to do is to walk the County Wexford coastline, and they have a coastal path, all 70 kilometres of the most beautiful beaches. And I usually do it sometime between May and October, and I try and get it all in bit by bit. And the most beautiful birds are visible, particularly, I don't know whether they look like swallows or, but they're in the cliffs. They actually have loads of different nests in the sand. Well, Birdwatch Ireland wants the government to officially designate key locations around our coastline as protected areas. They've identified 73 strips of coastline and stretches of sea that it said met the criteria for important bird and biodiversity areas called IBAs. And here to talk about this, it's a great pleasure to welcome from Birdwatch Ireland, Una Duggan. Welcome to the show, Una. First of all, where are we talking about?
Well, what we're talking about is breeding colonies for seabirds on the coast, because most seabirds would actually nest on cliff ledges or on islands. So, and then we're talking about the areas in the sea that are important for feeding and wintering. So a bird doesn't stay on the nest the entire time. They go out to sea to feed, find food to feed their chicks, and then to migrate as well. So a lot of these birds would be migratory species, which are really important and vulnerable. And so in identifying these important bird areas really puts Ireland now on the global map of network of important bird areas in the world.
So first of all, what part of Ireland, like if you've got 73 of these, some of these are already protected, are they?
That's right. So a lot of the coastal breeding sites would be protected. So we'd be talking about the Old Head of Kinsale, Loop Head, many sites around the coast of Cork, Kerry, actually all the way around the country. And even when you were talking about Wexford there are some great breeding colonies of Little Tern down
on,
they nest, yeah, they yeah. nest on the beach.
Yeah,
and Sandwich
that's right.
Terns.
It's quite close to the mouth of the estuary for Wexford Harbour.
Yeah, and those are kind of, they would be called sea swallows, actually. So, and
sea
they're
swallows.
Absolutely beautiful birds, but they nest in the stones on the ground. So you can imagine it'd be really easy to step on them. Ladies Island as well has Sandwich Tern population that we warden there to protect the colony under a contract with National Parks and Wildlife Service. But all around the coast, Ireland is really important for seabirds. There's up to 750,000 birds nest, congregate at these coastal sites to breed. And we have some internationally important populations, for example, for Manx shearwater, all these birds that we wouldn't see so often, but they are just really important in the marine environment. There is as diverse as the birds in your garden, the seabirds are in the sea. We have 24 breeding seabirds in Ireland. They're like gannets and puffins and kittiwakes, cormorants, shags. There's terns, Arctic common, roseate terns, a really beautiful, diverse group of birds. And they're long-lived. So we recently detected a tern that was about 40 years old. Now, we know this information because of the ringing. We can put rings on them and detect, recapture them, and then we find out if it's the same bird and there's a log kept. So they're long-lived. They're just fascinating. So these important areas for them are really critical. So it's what we've done is we gathered all the available scientific information. We collated aerial surveys that the government funded with planes looking at the sea to see other whales and birds. And then at-sea surveys and tracking surveys where we put devices like sat-nav on the backs of the birds to find out where do they go when they use the water, because it's really hard to see where they go. And this showed us all these little dots of, oh, there's the track. That's the map of where they go. So once we gathered all that data, then we created these maps against BirdLife criteria, because we're a partner of BirdLife International. And these sites then were mapped out. So now we're calling for Minister Christopher Sullivan to designate these as special protection areas.
And what would that mean?
So that would mean...
What would be prohibited?
Well, let's talk about it as an opportunity. This is an opportunity to to save these seabirds.
No, I get the benefit of protecting it, but what does it mean?
Nothing would be prohibited. What happens?
Could you go for a walk?
Of course. No. So the one thing I would say, though, Ivan, is let's say for the benefit of the seabirds, like the Saltese, National Parks and Wildlife are doing a great job wardening that island to stop people getting too close to the birds. So you can get close, but don't walk on the nest, for example.
Of course. Well, that's common sense. Yeah.
It is, but actually...
Part of me thinking of all this and say this is fine and dandy, and I at home, I have feeders for the birds, and I have jays, and I have woodpeckers, and the most incredible birds right on my doorstep. But there's always a but with Ivan, and that is this, that the lights are going to go out unless we have offshore electricity.
Absolutely.
9,000 megawatts is planned, and there's 6 different sites from L'Oreal up in Louth right down to Codling Bay, Array, Nissan, and all of these in Arklow and so on. And at the moment, there's marine being looked at for all of this. Is this a conflict issue with the birds?
Do you know that climate change is also impacting the birds? So it's actually really important. The warming waters are impacting the food species of some of these birds. So we are as concerned about climate change. And we know that we need to cut greenhouse gas emissions significantly and want to see offshore renewables. But we also need to protect this biodiversity. There would be a terrible social license if puffins suddenly started to decline.
But are they mutually incompatible is my question.
They are. Seabirds are impacted in different ways by offshore wind. So it's complex, but they're not all the same. So seabirds that fly high, like gannets, might be impacted by collision with the blades. Other birds that feed close to these sandbanks, for example, they might be impacted by changes to the habitat, which might have been good for spawning fish. We also need fish in the seas.
I was recently at a biodiversity conference, and they were saying, they have a thing now, is it a horseshoe bat or something like that, or a hen harrier, that, you know, you could get a development to go ahead, but you'd have, as a condition of that, to provide a facility somewhere else that would actually provide nesting or a facility for that endangered species. Is that something that you think is possible or doable?
Do you know what I think would be better? Would be something we've already done at Birdwatch Ireland on land, is to develop offshore renewables avian sensitivity mapping. So this is where we look at the ecology of these species, and we find out how would each species be impacted by the offshore renewables, and then map those areas. So to be further refining of the maps to see where are the areas of medium, low and high sensitivity, so we could target those areas for offshore renewables. We really need to be doing this hand in hand, because the birds are indicators of the health of the environment. We know they're in trouble. 23 of the 24 breeding seabird species in Ireland are in trouble already. So what we need to do is manage this. And we've had with our IBA work, we had a lot of engagement with different stakeholders, including wind farm companies, to talk to them about this. And they were very open to the conversation. We found them always very helpful. But all stakeholders need to be involved in this, and we need to include fishers as well. So it's really, I think we have to work together. There's a holistic approach. We have to work together on this.
Yeah, no, and consultation is always, and communication is vital. Eamon says, the reason there are fewer birds along our coasts is because of less fish in our seas. And little has been talked about this issue. This is true of our rivers. Is that a valid point?
I mean, overfishing can have a devastating impact on not only fish stocks, but also on the whole marine ecosystem. However, we're still not really seeing an impact from overfishing itself on the small fish that the birds eat. So like the sand eels, for example, it is definitely having an impact on the marine environment. But just for me, I couldn't right now directly correlate that with impacts to the seabirds. And maybe that's because they're long lived. And it'll take a while to see some of the impacts. But I'll tell you what's impacting them now is avian flu. Bird flu is impacting seabirds on the West Coast. Another impact...
In the wild?
Yeah. because they've picked up the avian flu. It's been rampant throughout the United States and in other parts of Europe as well. And
in the poultry industry.
Yes, but also in wildlife. I mean, mammals have picked it up, which is worrying for people because we're mammals. And if we, you know, there's a potential that we could get it from other mammals, not from the food. But in 2023, we lost 50% of our common tern population on Rockabill Island to avian flu. So that's a devastating loss. And these are birds that migrate huge long distances. And they're long lived. So it'll take another generation for the population
to
pick up.
And tell me this, if someone's listening to this and they kind of like birds, is there anything they can do to go bird watching and you know, ornithology? Does Birdwatch Ireland provide a kind of user-friendly approach to this?
Well, so there's a couple of things. Firstly, if you want, you know, we've created an interactive map on our website for these areas so people can click on the
What's
map.
What's that, birdwatch.ie?
Birdwatchireland.ie. Okay. And if you look up seabirds IBAs, you can see the map and you can click on it and see what are the important birds in that area. So that's useful to people.
But say they want to learn more about birds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually going to maybe spend a weekend down the country looking at birds. Is there a kind of beginner's guide to it?
Well, so there's, I have this for you actually.
Oh, fantastic.
A guide to the top 50 Irish birds and more information. But I will say...
that's very kind of you.
Yeah,
on a lighter
note,
I've heard of the guillemot and the tern and the kittiwake and the cormorant. What's a shag?
They're absolutely gorgeous seabirds with a little, they're like cormorants, but much daintier. And they have little kind of tuft on their head. They're black.
So you learn something.
And they
new
have
every
a long
day.
Bill, and they're absolutely
gorgeous. And where do they
gorgeous.
Exist? Where can I go and see a shag?
Well, you could maybe go to Ireland's Eye and see, get the boat out and see a shag there. I'm not 100% if they're, they should be, they might be there, but they tend to be in kind of more remote areas. But look them up. They're absolutely beautiful and they have beautiful eyes.
All right. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I'm a big fan of Birdwatch Ireland and I'd love to be a bird fancier. Una Duggan, and do check out the websites, the message here.
And please join Birdwatch Ireland.
Absolutely.
And our branches have talks
is
and events.
Is it very expensive?
No. Well, it depends, of course, on a person's circumstances, but we have graduated costs, so 50 euro for a family.
I also, now I'm in favour of offshore wind, energy, don't get me wrong, but I absolutely think it's a hidden treasure of Ireland, the migratory birds we have here from the brent geese in Wexford, right along to the slobs and all of that other stuff. Una Duggan, it's been a delight to talk to you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.